Good evening, everyone. Tonight's message is a topical message, a conversation that reveals Christ. A conversation that reveals Christ. If you want to write down one of the verses, Philippians 3:20, we will go to Philippians 3:20 by the end of the message, but not right now. Take your Bibles and go to the book of Psalms. Psalm 50:23. Believe it or not, the word conversation has little to do with what one says as the word is translated in the Bible, but rather it refers to one's whole manner of life or converse. Therefore, the word conversation. It's the converse, it's the way one goes about in his life. But there's a much deeper meaning than that that's been lost through nuances over the years, and we're going to recapture the true meaning of the word, Lord willing, by the end of the message tonight. So the first place I want us to look in looking, understanding this word is Psalm 50 and verse 23. Whoso oft with praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his, you're supposed to, when I pause like that, you know, you're supposed to fill in the quietness. You could have told us that ahead of time, Pastor Long. Okay, I just told you. Now we'll read it. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Conversation. It's a manner of life, but it's something much more deeper than that. And the original understanding of the word, which we will look at tonight, it is a game changer. It is a life changer. Get a hold of it, because if it gets a hold of you, it will change your life. Father, we ask that you open your word to us tonight. We cast our dependence upon you, Christ. We know that you desire to transform us into your likeness. And we yield our hearts to you, Holy Spirit of God, to renew them, renew our minds. Enliven us with the truth. Cause it to stir our hearts to want to cross that finish line. The best is yet to come for the believer. We thank you and praise you, exalt you and magnify and glorify you, Christ. Because you told us to offer praise to you and it would glorify you. Lord, you are excellent in every way. You are righteous in all your ways and holy. And all your works, righteous, and all your ways, holy, and all your works. And that was your manner of life. And as you went through life here on earth, Lord Jesus, you also gave us an example. You alone were the only sacrifice that could pay for our sins eternally and remove the curse of damnation from us. We thank you so much for that. For he that hath the Son, you said, has life. But Lord, you're also our example, how to walk through this earth with our minds attuned to God as our Heavenly Father. We have a place there, a residence. Our name is written there in the palms of your hands. We thank you for that, dear Lord. For everyone who's believed upon the name of the Lord, their name is recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. Take this message tonight, dear Lord, and use it to stir our hearts to that desire to be more like Christ and for heaven itself. In Jesus' name, amen. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. So if you want to offer praise to the Lord, you know that that will glorify Him. That's what the motive of our life is, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto us. Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, to all to the glory of God. And then Psalm 50, 23 goes on to say, to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. Conversation is our study tonight. And this part of our study, we're looking at manner of life. Jesus' manner of life, his conversation, was that he was meek and lowly, willing to be governed and humble, and dependent upon God the Father as he walked upon the earth. That's our example. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. We'll have you turn about five or six places tonight, and then the time will be up. We're going to read some little longer passages, but it'll be a very encouraging study to you, I do believe. Ephesians chapter 2, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. So when you're running to one of those, you're getting close. Here's what it says about us. This is not something that we need to run from, but actually admit. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Talking about those who have just been saved, an understanding of what happened, he calls the word quickened. That means made alive through faith in Christ. We were dead spiritually in our trespasses and sins, but now we're made alive. But let's read it. Ephesians 2, 1 through 3. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. That means spiritually we were dead. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course. You were running a race, but you didn't have a right goal. You walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who was calling the shots? Satan was. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The children are energized to disobey God and not believe the gospel. Who's behind that? Satan is. Among whom also we all had our what? Conversation. All of us had our manner in life before Christ with a heart that wasn't tuned to Christ. We're not born naturally as a believer in Christ. We have to be born again to the family of God. So he goes on to say, among whom also we had our conversation in times past, and here's how we were governed. In the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Well, you say, is this true of children, Pastor? Well, leave them alone in the nursery long enough with a couple toys, and it won't be long. Somebody wants to take a toy from another. Dominance takes place, a little bit of fighting, and you will see that they have a sin nature. How true it is. Folks, our sin nature is just as rotten to the core as Satan himself. There's no good thing in it. Our sin nature, everybody has one, is rotten to the core, and there's not one good thing in it. So we don't want to yield to the flesh, amen? We want to yield to the Spirit. So we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. The wrath of God was upon us because we hadn't believed the gospel, even as others who have not believed the gospel. Now go to Ephesians chapter 4. So that's a couple of uses of the word, conversation, that means manner of life. Here's another one. Ephesians 4, 21 through 25. Ephesians 4, 21. If so be that ye have heard and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. So Jesus is the truth. And here's what Jesus wants us to do if you believe Jesus is the truth. That you put off concerning the former what? Conversation. Referred to as the old man. This is not a disrespectful term for your father. This is talking about who you were before you trusted Christ. And now it's referred to as the old man. Which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Put that off. Now that you're in Christ, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Remind yourself you're a saved person. Let your mind be invigorated again and again with the truth. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you were created righteous and truly holy. And you hadn't done one work. Zippo. You're already righteous and holy. That's our position. But we want to live that out in our practice. Amen? But we need help in that. Here's one of the old things of the flesh. Wherefore put away lying. Here's the new nature. Speak the truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. That means family. Family. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. We're moving along rather nicely tonight. Almost done with page one. We've got three to go. It's getting gooder. Getting better. Yes, I know. Don't text me about my English. Email me. I know there's room for improvement everywhere. No problem. Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Let your conversation, remember the manner of life, how you go through life, how you handle life. Let your conversation be without what? Covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, who is he? Jesus. I will never, no never, no never, no never, no never, no never, no never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's how it's read in the Greek. Only got one in the English. Somebody should have put a times five on there. That's all right. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm not going to go away from you, and I'm not going to turn my back on you and walk away. Leaving someone, one thing, you might get back together, but forsaken is I'm leaving and I'm not coming back. That's forsaken. Then goes on to say, I'm not going to ever do that to you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. That's why we don't have to covet anything. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I was riding down with a guy. He just got a brand new truck. This truck is probably 79 to 80,000 bucks at the time, a couple years ago. And I'm sitting in this truck, you know, that new, by the way, that new smell, you know, seats and all that. I went down here to the auto zone and they told me, new car smell, only $1.99. So I just sprayed it all over the place and I got in my car, smelled all that glue and said, I'm satisfied. That's good enough. Saved me thousands of dollars. How many of you think I got a warped sense of humor? Anybody? Okay, just say it. All right, the big time. You're in trouble. So I'm sitting with this guy in this truck, right? And I won't tell you what type it is. They don't go to church or so stop looking around. And they just had come out with the new trucks for that year. Now his truck's probably 6 months old. The only difference in his truck and that truck was a gold stripe down the side. And guess what he said? Man, I got to get me one of those. You can have it. Well, anyways, that's the way it is sometimes, isn't it? Yes or no? How sad it is to be governed by things in our life. Things are a good servant, but they're a terrible master. So we are looking at, right now, we are looking at manner of life, conversation, but it's getting ready to change. That's all the, sometimes a person will say lifestyle when they mention this word, and folks, saying lifestyle is missing the boat, missing the mark. It's a manner, how we go about things is what the word means. I don't know how it dwarfed into lifestyle. Lifestyle is not even in the Bible. This is a manner about how we, for instance, Solomon said, I don't know how to come and go before the people. That's conversation. Please give me wisdom, dear Lord, how to go in and out amongst the people and to lead the people. Give me wisdom. That's the word conversation. Now, I don't know if it's written in Kings there, but that's what the word means. How to go in and out before people. Okay. But now it's going to get life-changing now. Philippians chapter 1. Go to Philippians. If you were in Ephesians, just another book over. And the book of Philippians. You want to know these two verses. Particularly the last one will be fine. But we're going to read it in context so we don't miss anything. Philippians 1, 20 through 28. And you're going to find this word comes out. If we just yanked out the one verse, we might miss it, but I think you'll get it when it's placed in context. Philippians 1 and verse 20. Paul is praying about his earnest expectation. He's really desiring that he not be ashamed before the Lord of anything. So he's all in. He's all in his race. Both feet He's going for it. Verse 20, Philippians 1. According to my earnest and expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. That was a continual prayer. Whether it be by life or by death. So like I said, he's all in. For to me, life is Jesus Christ. And if I die, I'm going to my gain. Don't forget that point. Very important. That's what life is to me, Jesus Christ. And if I die, I'm going to my gain. That is totally contrary to the worldly thought. Let's go on. Verse 22. But if I live in the flesh, that's in my human body, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I want not. I don't know what I'm going to choose necessarily as I go down through life. But particularly, I'm not sure whether I'm ready to stay here with you folks or go to heaven. This is what he said. He's debating this as he's being inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write it down. But he does decide what to do. Verse 23. For I am in a strait. I'm in a fix here between two things. I have a desire to depart. That means to actually die. Why? Because to die for him is, tell me, gain. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. That's the gain. Verse 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He was always thinking of other people. Ministry minded. Verse 25. And having this confidence, I know I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of the faith. So just the next sentence, he already decided God wants him to stay around a little while longer, and he's not yet going to die. Has he died yet? He's died. Now he's in heaven. But then while he's writing this, he wasn't dead yet. Verse 26. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. I want to come to you again. I want to teach you about Christ. And we can both rejoice in that. Only let your conversation. There's that word again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else I be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That you may stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Pretty good verse there. I think a certain college has that as their theme. Maybe Josh Hamm can share that with you. Verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. This is very interesting. Which to them is an evident token of perdition, which means damnation, but to you of salvation and that of God. Okay, what does that mean? That means this. What is Paul saying? He's saying, because I am having a conversation, folks, conversation, back up in verse 27, doesn't mean manner of life here. It means to have a residence in heaven. Because I know I have a residence in heaven, I'm not afraid to die. But let me tell you something about you, Muslim. If you die, you better be afraid. Because you're going to go to hell believing what you believe. Is that what it means, folks? That's what it means. So when they are killing Christians, Christians will have the strongest testimony by this. Well, you know, if you put me to death, I'm going to my game. But if you die, you will be going to hell. Because the only way to heaven is through belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, it needs to be that clear with people. That clear with people. And you are not loving people if you hold back the truth from them. You are to speak the truth in love. Listen, my friend, Jesus Christ is the only way of salvation. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And he's the only one you need for salvation. And you know, I give the gospel right before games. You can ask Mark when he's out there. I give the gospel of Jesus Christ right before basketball games in our city league over here. I'm not a captain this year, so I missed a few games. But anyways, Thursday night, I think we have another game. And what do you plan on doing, Pastor Long, giving the gospel? What about when y'all play that Muslim team? What do you do then? We already played them. By the way, they killed us. Oh, it was a slaughter. But anyways, we were doing pretty well in the first half. But anyway, we lost by about 15 points. What did you do at the beginning of that game, Pastor Long? I said, well, you know, fellas, I don't want to offend anybody. You know, I'm not one to judge. And I just, how many think I hem-hawed around like that? Anybody? No. What did I say? Just like I do it. Hey, fellas, we got this league together, me and a surgical assistant that works at Geisinger, and my banker over here, Garrett, and Aaron Barth, goes over at Greenview. And I said, we got all this league together, and we decided that we'd like playing basketball and to give us an opportunity to give the gospel. So, guys, here it is. Now, you want to respect the refs, please no cussing, which they don't obey that. Please no cussing, you know, if you miss a shot or you don't like a call or something like that. No fighting. We're just, you know, we're trying to create a family situation here. Maybe some kids come along and stuff. So try to keep it clean as possible. And we're not out here in the NBA trying to win millions and thousands of dollars. We're just trying to have a little exercise. But also, guys, I want to share this with you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Perish means to be going to hell. And if you'll place your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll have a home in heaven. All right, let's play ball. Just like that, before every game. So our conversation here is the realization that we have a residence in heaven. Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. Well, folks, he's already prepared the place. So if I die, I'm going to my Father's house where there are many mansions or dwelling places. And if that weren't so, I would have told you. I'm just letting you know what's happening in the future. And I'm going there. And you're going to come there too one day if you place your faith in me. That's what the word conversation means. So if I know that I have a residence in heaven, the more that infiltrates my heart and my mind, the less I'll be afraid of dying. But if you don't have the assurance, the blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. If you don't have it, you should be afraid. But we have it, and our confidence is not in our best works, only in his work on the cross. So because I have that confidence in him, guess what I want to do? I want to go about as though I am a resident of heaven. Our next verses are Philippians 3. And if you forget all the other verses, remember Philippians 3:20. I shared this story with you before, but I think I'll share it one more time with regard to John R. Rice, a man that passed away a number of years ago, evangelist growing up when I was a young boy, my dad, a friend of my dad's, older man at that time as well. Anyways, he pitched up a hitchhiker, what I don't advise you doing today unless it's me, you know, because I... pitched up a hitchhiker one time, the guy got in the back seat, pulled a knife on him, and said, give me your money. And John R. Rice said, boy, you picked the wrong guy, buddy. I can just tell you now, but I'll give you my wallet. I'll give you, he said, but I want to tell you. He said, if you don't give me your wallet, try to cut him off. If you don't give me your wallet, I'm going to kill you. And John Rice said, well, you know, if you kill me, I'm going to, the car's going to pull over this edge right here. We're going to go over this cliff and both of us are going to die. And the guy is starting thinking about this a little bit, you know, and he said, yeah, yeah, you're right. You know, and he said, yeah, I might want to pull over just so you don't die, right? He said, yeah, it'd be a good idea. He's having this conversation with this guy. And he said, I want to tell you something. I'll give you my wallet, my friend. There's no need to kill me. But if you do kill me, you know, can you imagine this? But if you do, you're looking in the mirror, you know, the guy's got a knife. But if you do kill me, I'm going to go to heaven. You, if you don't know Christ as Savior, you're going to go to hell. I'd hate for this car to go right off the edge, you know, over the embankment and die. But I know where I'm going. Do you know where you're going? The guy said, pull over and let me get out of this car. Get me out of this car. And yes, I'll take your wallet. Well, he forgave the guy. You know, years later, that guy came to church. came down and repented and said, do you really believe all that stuff you said about forgiveness of sin? And he said, yes, I do. He said, have I met you before? He said, yeah, yeah. He said, I'm the guy who had the knife, pulled the knife on you about 10 years ago. He said, I've just been all over myself, miserable, and you're right. And the only thing that I really needed was to come to Jesus Christ. He gave me a new life, gave me a new heart. And I wanted to bring some of your money back. I don't remember how much it was. He said, I don't think it was too much. He said, probably was it. He said, it doesn't matter. Just keep it, my friend. I'm so glad that you came to Christ. And he said, would you please forgive me? He said, I did a long time ago, but it's good to see the forgiving, a forgiving face. A forgiving face. Corrie Ten Boom. How many are you familiar with her? Boy, I tell you, when the Germans, the Nazis took over and what they were doing to the Jews, some of the horrific things that took place that we would not discuss here since there are children in the congregation tonight. We'll just say unspeakable things that men should not be doing with regard to women. Everybody understand what we're talking about? Just let the imagination run wild, and that's probably exactly that and more took place. And Corrie Ten Boom said, you know, when you've forgiven someone, don't go fishing back in that pond again. Leave it down in the depths of the deepest sea. Don't go fishing down there. Try to bring up something of the past or what have you. When you're forgiven them, truly leave it there. Well, she was teaching this beautiful forgiveness and all this other things, and here comes one of them German soldiers in the back, and he's standing there. And just like I'm speaking to you right now, she was speaking at a church, and here's this guy. And she looked in his face. It's been about 20 years now. She looked in his face, and he looked in her face. Tears began to roll down her face, and this big, burly German soldier came down and said, do you mean all that stuff about what you said about the forgiveness of God? And flashing through her heart and mind, remembering all this wicked stuff he did to her and many other women, she said yes. And she said the very same thing. I forgave you a long time ago in my heart, and I don't hold it against you. Only that you would turn yourself to Christ has been my prayer. He said, well, I've embraced the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, and I wanted to come and tell you. I kept up with you through the years to see what you were doing, how you were responding, and you never bent one time. So it must be real. Jesus must be the true God. She had a citizenship in heaven. That's what took her through, a residence there. Now let's look at Philippians. This is joy in the midst of sorrow. He might die the next day. These are the letters while he's in prison. Philippians chapter 3, 13 through 21. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 starting. Brethren, I love these racing analogies. I count not myself to have apprehended. Don't you love those Christians who've already arrived? Anybody like being around them? There's no more room for improvement. I'm just so perfect, I can't stand myself. Well, there's a lot of room for improvement in all of us. Please never adopt that attitude. There's a long way to go. The goal is a perfect likeness to Jesus Christ. Therefore, we can all walk humbly with that. That's true. If the Apostle Paul said, I've not yet arrived, none of us should be saying it or even thinking it in our heart. Brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. What is the prize? It's a perfect likeness to Christ Jesus. That's the prize. Verse 15, let us therefore as many be perfect, being perfected, be thus minded, have this mindset. And if in anything we be otherwise minded, which we do get our mind off of that sometimes, don't we? Yes or no? Only me? Everybody's so quiet in here tonight. I'm the only one that prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it, right? I'm going to sing a solo up here. Now, we are prone to wonder sometimes because the world, the dragging and nagging down influence of the world just drags us down sometimes. Well, get your face back toward God. Face back toward God and the goal. What will God do? Well, He will eventually reveal it to you that your eyes aren't upon Him. That's what verse 15 means. Thank God for grace. Amen. Get refocused on Christ, on the prize, on the finish line. Verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Everybody else join in too with the attitude of having that same prize. By the way, not one runner wins the prize, every runner wins the prize. I like that. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which walk, so ye have us for an example. Boy, I love a good coach, don't you? This is what I've done to carry through, and that's what I want you to do, too. Good to get wisdom from older people. I've been down the road a little longer than us. Verse 18, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now I tell you weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They're not heading the right way, are they? The cross is our glory, not our enemy. It's our glory. We glory in the cross as believing sinners. We don't run from the cross, we run to it to be accepted by God. But to these are described the enemies of the cross, verse 19, whose end is destruction, that's hell, whose God is their belly, they're governed by human things, and whose glory is in their shame. Boy, the things people do today and they're not ashamed of it. Pretty rough. And their mind is set on what? Earthly things. In contrast to that, here it is, verse 20, for our, what, conversation is in heaven. We have a residence, and where is it? Yeah, it's right over there on 1318 Louisa Street. That's where Pastor, well, that's my earthly residence, but it's not my heavenly residence. My true eternal residence is heaven. Verse 20, and that's true for every believer. For our conversation is where? In heaven. Our residence is in heaven. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile or decaying body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Yep, there's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it is mine. What is he saying here in the vernacular? Let me say, I believe this is what Paul's saying as we summarize these verses. I move through life knowing that I'm a citizen of heaven. I told you this is a game changer, right? If we were to move through life knowing that we were a citizen of heaven every day, would that change anything? It would lessen our gains and it would lessen our losses and monitor our gains. They wouldn't mean that much to us. Because we got heaven coming. You know, don't you just love these people? You try to order something online, a guy rips you off $50, you know, some fake website, and, you know, you get a discount here, and the guy's a crook. I mean, you just ruin your whole week. But not if you don't want it to. Not if you don't let it. Lessens the losses. What about the gains? Well, anything I got, God gave it to me. So God gets glorified again. That doesn't make me lazy. If He gives me grace to do something, I'm going to labor more abundantly. You give me the door of opportunity, I could go through it. Now it's time to get to work. You know, some people just want a jersey. You love these guys? I just want to be on the team. What good's that? No. We want to be in the race and to be focused on the finish line. And the finish line is Jesus Christ, a perfect likeness of Jesus Christ. And the high calling means it's the highest prize you could ever attain. Do you believe that? Do you believe that a perfect likeness of Jesus Christ is the highest thing you could ever desire in your life, with your life? That's where Paul was. Pretty good stuff. Let me conclude with these verses then. Remember I told you in John 14, Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What was Paul saying? I move through life knowing I'm a citizen of heaven. I don't stay focused on the past. I look forward to the future. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus face to face. The best is yet to come for me. One day I will receive a new, eternal, and glorified body. And we'll conclude with 1 John 3, 1 through 3. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Well, I have one other verse after that. I'm sorry. Very important. 1 John 3, 1 through 3. Let me go ahead and read it. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God, the children of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, it doesn't understand, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, which is perfect likeness to Christ. That's what we shall be. But we know that when he, Jesus, shall appear, we shall be like him. That's the high prize. For we shall see him as he is. Listen to this. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. It's that hope in you that starts purifying everything you do. It's that hope. So if we get our eyes off the prize, oh man, give me those Krispy Kreme donuts. Woo, who cares about winning this race? Well, I hate those analogies because I like Krispy Kreme donuts. They just don't like me. Oh, I went one time. Is there Krispy Kreme donuts around here, by the way? I don't think there are. Clark Summit? We got to go to the Clark Summit. But anyways. A friend of mine says, hey, man, we got to get some of them Krispy Kreme donuts down south, you know. I said, I don't know, man. How close is it? Oh, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes. I said, you want to drive 15 minutes way up to the city? Forget it, man. I don't want to. He said, I bet we could eat a dozen between us. By the time we got back, and throw the box away so the kids wouldn't know we got them. We didn't do it, but I did think about it. Now, when I was in college, I did that, but I didn't have any kids. And I was about 160, 70, 80 pounds, whatever. And so donuts, I could eat a horse, you know, nothing was happening. But if our mindset on that goal is that I'm going to be just like Jesus Christ, it tends to purify coming and going in every other area of life. But if my eye is not on the goal, I tend to be prone into wonder, and it appears as though everything else in my life has fallen apart too. That's Satan. Get our eyes back on the goal. John 17, 24 is what we will conclude with. John 17, 24. One of my favorite verses in the Bible. This is Jesus praying. I use this every now and then. Jesus praying. This prayer is going to be answered with a big fat yes, I can tell you that. John 17, 24. Father, here's my strong desire. How many of you know that Jesus had strong desires? How many of you know that Jesus was impassioned? Remember that movie Mel Gibson made, what was it called? About Jesus being crucified? The Passion. Jesus was a man of passions. Elijah was a man of like passions, just like we are. None of this stoic, fill-in-the-blank theology, no romanticism to it, no redemption, is God loving us and wanting us to be His bride. And He's coming after us. That's romantic. In a proper sense. But here's Jesus desiring to be with us forever. You mean God wants to be in fellowship with me forever? Yes, He does. So strongly that He endured the cross. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. What do you mean, behold Jesus in his glory? You know what the glory of seeing Jesus would be? That is the glory of a sinless human being. Oh, he had the same glory as the Father from the beginning of time, well before all ages passed. The true God is the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. That's all eternity past. Never a beginning. But then the Father made a body for him. The Spirit overshadowed a virgin. And Jesus took on a human body and a human nature. The first Adam failed. Again, the second Adam will prevail. Jesus is referred to as the second Adam, the federal head of all the race. And when we see Jesus, you know, when we see Jesus, I think we're going to look in his face and see the most accepting, gracious, merciful, accepting person that we have ever met. He's going to look right in our eyes with those flaming eyes and see us through and through. And he's going to have a smile on his face when we get to heaven. You know why? Because we believed upon him. And he wants us to share in that glory with him in fellowship with the Father. There he is on the right hand of God the Father right now in his glorified human body. You can still see the piercings of his hands and his feet. He'll never let us forget it. Probably his brow too. You know why, folks? Because we're never going to forget how we got there. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I can never pay him back, but I want to have him as my goal in my life. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your truth tonight. No matter what else is going on in our life, I pray that you would cause us to refocus on that finish line, that we already have a place in heaven, a residence. We are citizens of heaven, and we're to be living out the life of Christ as we go about on this earth, attuned to you, our Heavenly Father, yielding to you, Holy Spirit, strengthening on the inside with Christ who indwells us. May Christ be magnified in our body by life or by death. For to me, life is Jesus Christ. And if I die, I'm going to my gain. All God's people say,
amen.